hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It's day three of the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament in New York City. The U.S. Tennis Association says it expects about 700,000 fans to pass through the turnstiles at the two-week event. The Showpiece American Tournament is being held at the USTA Billie Jean King National Tennis Center in New York, and some of the marquee matches are being staged at the largest tennis stadium in the world, Arthur Ashe Stadium, which has a seating capacity of almost 24,000 and a new retractable roof to prevent any rain delays. Let's hear now from a few of the tennis fans in New York.
We are going to see David Ferrer on court 11. We're excited to see him. And we're going to see Dimitrov because he's very handsome and we like watching him. And I don't know. That's it. I mean, not that's it, but we're going to be here all day and we're excited.
Several matches. Nick Kyrgios has won on an old grandstand. It's the last year that that is open, so I think it's going to be rocking and rolling tonight. And then David Ferrer versus Dolgopolov. That'll be a great grind-out match.
I will expect to see a boat, and I want to see Del Potro and Murray later, but I want to see Nishikori too.
I like that she's like really athletic and she doesn't give up. I like her sister too, Venus.
Djokovic is going to win, even though he might be a little injured, but he's still going to win. And Serena, for sure.
I still think Djokovic is going to take it. I know he's had his problems lately, but he's tough to beat on hard court. I'm going with Djokovic. And I got to go with Serena on the women's side.
That fan says he's going with Serena on the women's side. Top-seeded Serena Williams is off to a good start in her bid for a record 23rd major title. Serena defeated Russia's Ekaterina Makarova in straight sets Monday night, 6-3, 6-3, needing just over an hour to advance to the second round. Serena's serve is described by many as the best ever in the history of the women's game, and it was in fine form. She hit 12 aces and had only one double fault. Meanwhile, Serena's older sister, Venus, a two-time U.S. Open champion, needed three sets to beat Ukraine's Katerina Kozlova. In men's action Monday, number 2 seed Andy Murray of Britain, number 3 seed Stan Wawrinka of Switzerland, and number 6 seed Kei Nishikori of Japan all won their opening matches. Murray won his second consecutive Olympic singles gold medal in Rio de Janeiro earlier this month. He beat Lukas Rosol of the Czech Republic Monday in straight sets 6-3, 6-2, and 6-2. Andy Murray also won his second Wimbledon title last month, and he's attempting to become the fourth man in the modern Open era to reach all four Grand Slam finals in a single season. 1 week after she was suspended from the U.S. women's national soccer team, Hope Solo has left her pro squad. The veteran goalkeeper says she'll skip the Seattle Reign's final four regular season matches in the National Women's Soccer League. The 35-year-old Solo told her more than 1 million followers on Twitter, and I quote, "Coming to terms with the fact I was fired from the U.S. women's national team after 17 years of service has been devastating. After careful consideration, I have decided to end my season with the Seattle Reign. Mentally, I'm not there yet." The U.S. Soccer Federation suspended Solo for 6 months and terminated her contract after she called the Swedish Olympic team a bunch of cowards after the USA lost to the Swedish women in the quarterfinals of the Rio Olympics. One of the big African highlights at this month's Rio Olympics in Brazil was Wade Van Niekerk setting a new world record in the men's 400 meters final. The South African athlete circled the track in 43.03 seconds, breaking the mark of 43.18 seconds set by American star Michael Johnson at the 1999 World Championships in Spain. The 24-year-old Van Niekerk is from Cape Town, and that's where reporter Haiti Fitzpatrick reached Odessa Swartz, the world and Olympic champion's mother. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again as Haiti asks Odessa, what was your reaction to your son's gold medal winning world record run?
Well, it's still such a surreal feeling. It feels like I'm still dreaming. It's an emotion that I just cannot explain. If you ask me what was going through my mind during the race, I have no idea, because all that I remember is when everything was done, I was standing on someone else's chair, banging on their head and screaming my lungs out. So I can't remember what went through my head at that time.
I had read some things about, you know, you and Wade as I was doing some research, and I came across a story about the complications there were when Wade was born. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, Wade was born at 29 weeks. He weighed just over 1 kg. And when he was born with jaundice. And he had a bit of a blood infection. And they had to do a blood transfusion. And they gave us about 24 hours. They said after the 24 hours, he might have one or the other disability. But the Lord was good. And he's world champion today. He's always been a fighter. I mean, in that first 24 hours of his life, he fought so hard. We've never, ever had problems with him being ill as he grew up as a child. I mean, when he was 18, the first time we had him at the doctors when he had German measles. And, I mean, we were told in that first 24 hours of his life that he might not make it.
When you think about that and you look at what he has accomplished at such a young age, what goes through your mind?
Just pride, because he's just a never say die type of person. I mean, he's always been smaller than his friends at school. He's always been a skinny little boy, but he never stood back for any challenge. I mean, give him any challenge and he would take it, and he'll take you on. I mean, it just makes you proud as a parent when you see that fighting spirit within in him as a person, but also with that strong personality of him. He's also such a soft, gentle-hearted person. So, yeah, it just makes you very proud when I look at him today and just to think that I might have lost him when he was just born.
What does it mean for you, and an accomplished athlete yourself, to see your son go and compete in places that you were denied in the past just because of the time and the politics in South Africa then?
When I look at any person, whether you're South African or no matter where you come from in the world, a lot of us, we don't grab hold of the opportunities that we get in life. And I mean, when I look at him, he's been given this opportunity, he's been given this talent. When I look at him, how hard he works every single day, come winter or summer, come rain or sunshine, he'll be at that track, he'll be in the gym in the morning. We didn't have all those opportunities that they have today. We can't compare ourselves to that now. I mean, like I always tell people, that was a generation that was meant for us, and this is a generation meant for them. I think we were just meant to be the parents of this great generation that's coming through at the moment. And as parents, we can support them in whatever they want to achieve in life at the moment. And I mean, and that's what we're trying to do as parents, because the world is just the oyster at the moment. And I mean, they can either make it or they can break it. It's their choice. He's chosen to make the best of his talents, and he's chosen to give it his all. I mean, he's so committed, and he's just reaping the fruits of him today.
Mrs. Swartz, was there ever a moment in Wade's athletic career where it looked like this could be the end? Was there a moment where things went bad for him, something that he had to overcome?
Oh, yeah, a couple of years ago when he qualified for the London Olympics, he pulled his hamstring. And, I mean, it was a very, very tough phase in his life. He went to rehab, and he worked so hard. And then the hamstring was just very persistent. It just kept on coming back. And I mean, there was a time when he said, I don't think I want to go on with athletics. I think I'll rather leave it because his hamstring is just not getting better. And then someone like your tiny aunt walked into his life and decided, let's then move on to a 400-meter program and let's just completely heal this hamstring. And I mean, see how things have changed for him. And he was about to give up because he was just sick and tired of this hammy that's just not getting better.
Knowing his talent, and you've had a front row seat to what it has taken to help get Wade to the top where he is now, what are your hopes for him for the future? If you had one piece of advice for him, what would that be?
That he never stops dreaming, because he's such a big dreamer, and because he's such a big dreamer, he works towards those dreams, and he's a person that will make his dreams a reality. So I would just tell him never to stop dreaming and never stop achieving.
Never stop dreaming and never stop achieving. That's Odessa Swarts, the mother of South Africa's world and Olympic champion runner, Wade Van Niekerk. And she was speaking from Cape Town, South Africa, with reporter Heidi Fitzpatrick.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you later Wednesday night at 18:30 GMT UTC when he has another edition of Straight Talk Africa. During last week's Straight Talk Africa, Shaka asked for my reaction to the world record run by Ethiopia's Almaz Ayana at the Rio Olympics.
Fantastic achievement by her, Shaka, in the women's 10,000 meters final. She obliterated the previous record by, I think, more than 14 seconds.
Obliterated is the word. What does that mean to an average English?
Did you like that word? Crushed it. They crushed that world record. In fact, there were a lot of questions right after the race. Is she doping? But to put it in context, I think there were 18 Olympians in that race, Shaka, who set personal bests. The conditions were really good. There had been a rain. It was very cool. The track was fast. And the fact that these other Olympians also exceeded their previous best says a lot. But it was that was one of the great African highlights in Rio.
The first word I probably heard that adjective used was back in 1968, Bob Beamon in the long jump.
Yes.
You remember?
That was another obliteration of a world record by Bob Beamon, that one was at altitude, however.
Yes.
In Mexico City.
They claimed it had an asthenic of sorts when the Kipchainos were beating the Jim Ryan in the 1500 meters and all that kind of stuff. But look, man, it has since become a norm for Kenya to do its thing.
Yes, and speaking of world records, quick shout out for that South African, Wade Van Niekerk,
yes,
in the men's 400 meters.
Yes.
Interesting race, Shaka, in that he set the world record from lane 8, the
yes,
outside lane,
yes,
which tactically is not regarded as the best position to be in. You really want to be in one of the middle lanes so you can see on each side of you, you know, how Shaka is running.
Yes.
You can take a quick look. He really could not see who was behind him during that race. And again, he broke the record previously held by Michael Johnson of the USA.
But if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think I remember another African athletic giant, again back in 1972, Munich Olympics, by the name John Achibua from Uganda.
Uganda!
400 meters hurdles and world record time, beating David Henry of Britain, the defending champion.
I knew you would get his name in, Chaka.
Very interesting, very interesting.
That's the VOA Straight Talk Africa host, Chaka Sali, reminiscing with me about Uganda's 1972 Olympic 400-meter hurdles champion, John Achibua. And let's welcome our Facebook Live friends back to the Sunny Side of Sports. We're here in the Voice of America's Studio 22. And what a great way to end the month of August by brightening up your day on the sunny side. Yes, we're on the sunny side here in Studio 22. We're going to bring it. We're going to bring some passion. We're going to bring some energy. And we're going to bring some Andrew Palcheski to the equation. Let me ask my videographer, Bill Werkinger, just pan that camera to the right a little bit. And there's my friend Andrews.
Hey, everybody. Good to see you. I can't see you, but you can see us anyway. All I can see is the phone, but I assume you're all out there watching, and we're glad to have you with us.
Andrew, I can't help but notice that there's a tennis racket right in front of your workstation, and it's got an American flag on it. Now, how appropriate is that with the U.S. Open taking place in New York City, the showpiece American sporting event? Is the U.S. Open trending in the sports world, Andrew?
It absolutely is trending. Big night last night for some big marquee players, Serena Williams and Andy Murray, comfortably winning their first round matches. But as we often see with these sporting events, these stories pop up that aren't necessarily about the athletics, and they're about other things, whether it's the spectators or something funny that happens. We were talking about yesterday that Gaël Monfils of France ran into the wall, and the clock, the digital clock that was up against the wall, fell down and broke, and they had to piece it back together. So these funny things happen, and one thing that people every year, it seems, sees on are the outfits that the tennis players wear and the different styles and colors. And this year, Nike has gone with what has been called a highlighter yellow. It's kind of this very bright neon yellow color for its players that kind of fades down into white. And so you have a lot of commentary on social media about this highlighter yellow. People are calling it tennis ball, you know, yellow green, saying it's an ugly color. It looks like they've been dipped in highlighter ink. So a lot of questions about Nike's choices for these outfits and why they made them so bright. They said, for sure, those players are going to stand out on the blue courts at the U.S. Open. They're you're not going to lose them in the lights or anything, or in the, you know, in the nighttime. But a lot of speculation about why Nike did that, and maybe it was to get attention. They certainly did get some on social media.
For our Voice of America listeners who are listening right now, go to facebook.com/VOASunny, and you'll see the very handsome Andrew Palcheski live right here in Studio 22. I want to give a couple of quick Facebook shout-outs. I'm scrolling down my newsfeed right now. Former VOA colleague Jane Kelly, she checks in. She says, go Sunny, go Sunny. Yes, Facebook Live, Jane Kelly. We're going to give it up for you, Jane. I'm going to give another shout out for my friend way down in Rio de Janeiro, Luis Piazza. You might have to help me out here, Andrew. Luis says, oba. I think it's Portuguese. Oba.
Oba. Obrigado, maybe?
Maybe obrigado. Obrigado.
My Portuguese is non-existent, so that's my best guess. That's, I think, the only word I know in Portuguese, other than in futebol.
How about the weather in New York, Andrew? I'm still waiting for that retractable roof to close so we can... So you said it takes about 7 minutes.
Takes about 7 minutes, and apparently they did close it on the opening night when Phil Collins played. They, I think, closed the roof for him, so they got good acoustics in there for Phil Collins, and then they opened it back up. But, yeah, we'll see if the weather takes a turn for the worse. As we said, that roof will be closed, and they'll keep playing.
Let me give a couple more Facebook shout-outs to people who are checking in on the news feed. Henrico Fial. Hope I pronounced your name right, Henrico. Henrico Fial says, hello, Mr. Sonny Young. And Samuel Chigozzi. Samuel, he says, good evening, Sonny. Good evening, Samuel. Thank you for your comments. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we've been talking over the past week about Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, who hasn't been standing up during the playing of the national anthem, and how this has created a controversy. And it's gone back and forth for, you know, people who were opposed to this move, as going as far as burning his jersey and putting that on social media, then people defending him. And now we have hashtag veterans for Kaepernick, where a number of U.S. veterans have come forward and said, you know what, I fought and served in the military so that he has his right to stand up or sit down and do whatever he pleases during the national anthem. So this is just another kind of wrinkle and development in this case, the veterans coming forward and saying, no, we don't think this is disrespectful. We don't think that he's doing this to be against the United States. In fact, he's exercising his right to do so that we defend. So more to follow on that, I'm sure, as the football season approaches. In fact, as football gets underway next week, I think this is only going to be a bigger story that people are going to focus on and could detract from Kaepernick's play, perhaps, or some of the games, but it's going to be something that's going to continue on social media as a conversation.
It'll be interesting to see how his teammates react if he continues to sit during the national anthem, Andrew.
Yeah, and that's something that we've seen so far. It's kind of a mixed bag. Some of his teammates are saying, you know what, this is not the place to do it. You need to stand up. It's disrespectful. Others saying, you know what, he has a right to do that as an American and under his First Amendment rights. So even as the U.S. and really the world focusing on this is split, so is his team.
Andrew, I had a story earlier in the program about Hope Solo announcing on Twitter that her season is done with the Seattle Reign. She apparently has over a million Twitter followers. Hope? Is there hope for Hope?
There is hope. There is hope for Hope among the fans. There's hope that she could come back, but there's a lot of people saying, you know, that it's unfortunate that this is how her storied career has to end in this way, with her in tears and putting this video up on social media. But there's always hope for Hope, so certainly her diehard fans are hoping that she'll make it back to the soccer pitch.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, there's a player out of Florida State University, a college football player, Travis Rudolph. He's a wide receiver there at FSU, and he is capturing social media attentions for all the right reasons. So Travis Rudolph was at a middle school in Florida, and I guess they had a day where some of these college players could go in and meet the middle school kids. And he was passing by the cafeteria, and there was a boy who has autism who was eating his lunch alone. And so Travis Rudolph went into the cafeteria and sat down and had lunch with this boy, and somebody captured a photo of that. Of course, everybody today has smartphones, so every moment gets documented all the time. So somebody took a picture on their smartphone, put it up on social media, and this has really gone viral. So many positive comments for Travis Rudolph, saying it's a sweet gesture. In a time when we have a lot of heavy news and a lot of negative news, that this is a great way to show how, as an athlete and as a public figure, you can have a positive influence. He has come out and said that he does these things. He doesn't do it for the attention. He just does it because it's the right thing to do. Somebody put hashtag best thing on Twitter. So he's getting a lot of praise. His coach at Florida State, Jimbo Fisher, said he was extremely proud of him. He made some young man's day. And people saying we need more Travis Rudolphs in the world to do this. So when a lot of the times we talk about how athletes get highlighted on social media and it's because of the negatives, this is one way that he's using it for a positive way. And it wasn't even that he put it up on social media. Somebody else did. It just so happened that because they did, it went viral.
Andrew, one more Facebook shout out. Rick Luda Chris, he lives in Kumasi, Ghana. And Rick says, Sonny, I need a shout out. I need a shout out on the show. Rick, you got it. We're even going to show Rick's profile picture up close and personal with Rick Luda Chris in Kumasi, Ghana. Can you give me some love, Rick? We just put you on Facebook Live, brother. Back to Andrew. What else is trending?
Well, the other name capturing attention is Tim Tebow. Now, Tim Tebow used to be the quarterback for the University of Florida, so he was a college football player, tried to make it in the National Football League and couldn't really cut it. So he took some time off from the NFL, and now he's trying a different sport. He's trying to get into Major League Baseball. So he went and did some tryouts in Major League Baseball. The word was that he was not among the best, but probably good enough that a team could pick him up and sign him. So there's a lot of speculation about, will he make a foray into baseball? A lot of baseball players taking to social media saying, you know what, this isn't a fallback sport. This is something we've trained for our entire lives. It's a really tough sport to play. So we don't need somebody to come and say, oh, I didn't do well at another sport. I guess I'll try this one.
the VOA's Andrew Palcheski, our social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew. We'll see you on Thursday.
Yes, sounds good.
Let me, and that wraps up the August 31st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer, videographer, and lighting man, Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA producer Kwame Ofori. One more shout out for VOA engineer Nicholas Nick Ivanov.
I get it.
And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The terrorist group Boko Haram has exacted a heavy toll on the people of Nigeria. The group has killed more than 20,000 people, displaced more than 2 million, and plunged some 7 million Nigerians into hunger and desperate need. In the past 2 years, Boko Haram has used more than 100 women and girls to carry out attacks. Speaking in Nigeria, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said, "No one anywhere should have to live among this evil, but it isn't going to disappear on its own." In recent months, there has been progress on the battlefield against Boko Haram. Over the last 6 months, the Nigerian army has rescued thousands of civilian hostages, and hundreds of Boko Haram fighters have surrendered to the Nigerian army. But beating Boko Haram on the battlefield is only the beginning of what needs to be done, said Secretary Kerry. To effectively counter violent extremism, military action needs to be coupled with a commitment to values like good governance, education, security, and respect for human rights. The fight against corruption has to be a priority of the first order, said Secretary Kerry. There is nothing more demoralizing to citizens than the belief that the system is rigged against them. The most basic duty the government has is to meet the needs of its people and to be accountable. Governments must provide equal opportunity for all, giving women and girls an equal chance to compete in the classroom and in the workplace. Finally, the government needs to promote compassion and understanding for fellow citizens. Breaking the terrorist cycle of violence requires treating those who escape or defect from Boko Haram, and particularly those who are abducted against their will, with sensitivity as they try to return to their old communities. Welcoming these individuals, especially women and girls, back into society without the threat of violence or discrimination, and ensuring that the millions who have been displaced in Nigeria and throughout the region get the humanitarian and government support that they desperately need. This, said Secretary Kerry, is the way you invest in a future that is free from violence and provides the stability and peace that Nigerians so desperately want.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In our next edition of Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth discussion on democracy and the rule of law in Uganda, join us right here on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
The political process that determines who the next president of the United States will be? Tune in to VOA's extensive coverage of the campaigns, the voting, and the final tallying to find out how citizens choose their next president. Right here on VOA.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.